the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Welcome to Thursday's podcast. I want to get straight into the show because, dare I say, the highlight from today's show was when, for no given reason, Sarah and I spent a good minute throwing crap on Lee.
What do you mean for no given reason? That's your MO in life.
No, it's usually the other way around. It's usually on me. It is. It's true. Oh. But today, it's your time to
slime. I feel that you guys often gang up on me because you've got lots of little music bits in there that you use. So you've got the clown one when I get revved up. You've got the sad music when I get sooky.
Well, behind the scenes, what people don't see is when we hear Lee start to rev up, Scotty and I give each other a special expression in each other's eyes, and we both just know to shut up and let her go. Because eventually, she just keeps
angrier.
digging.
Because the other thing we learned is that anytime Lise tells a story from her childhood, she gets really like, look at how cool and edgy I was as a child.
I do not.
But then if you add this music to that story,
that also aggravates her immensely.
When have I ever said I was cool and edgy as a child? I wore a back brace, for the love of God. What do you think that was like? Don't press it.
Did you say egg houses? Like go out on the weekend with your friends at
egg
houses?
Just one. Stop.
I mean, that is the worst possible thing you could do.
All right, here's the best of today's show.
Those two girls.
Hey.
Good morning, one and all. I'm just trying to kill some time until I bring up what I wanted to talk to you about because I don't have
the hard and fast details. I wondered why you were frantically pounding your laptop keyboard thinking, that's it. This is the kind of prep that we pride ourselves on into this national show.
I don't need it because I read the article through and through and I was so fascinated I want to share it with you. Sarah. Somewhere in the world, I don't know if it was the UK or the US, but there's...
If I looked on your laptop right now, is there a Google search that says, what should I talk about on my early breakfast show?
Shush. It's just that it came to me last night. Oh,
all right,
whatever.
So we're at a specific location of somewhere in the world.
Somewhere in the world, there is a cheese festival happening.
I'm down for that.
And it's a very, very renowned cheese festival with the best of the best. But what they're doing this year is going to blow your
stringers,
tiny
some coons,
little
some Eden?
Mind.
Eden?
They are creating cheese off of celebrity bacteria. So they've lined up five celebrities. One of them is, you know, that really famous chef, Heston Blumenthal, the one who does all the crazy stuff with his food. They've scraped bacteria from his armpit, from between his toes, from under his neck, all the places that bacteria can form. And they...
No.
Let me tell the story. The scientists have been growing cheese.
This is not an early morning story. Oh,
and the celebrity cheeses will be on display at the cheese festival. They will not be sampled.
Oh, thank God for that.
They will be under lock and key in glass cold chambers, you know. But the idea is to show people that not all bacteria is bad bacteria.
That's right.
And bacteria
can't
is
just
a phenomenal
say that
thing.
Sentence. I don't need to see it grown into cheese to believe that.
I think you'd make a beautiful triple breeze. Give me your toes.
Thank you, Scott. That's exactly what I am feeling.
I feel
you're
like
a moldy, stinky blue vein cheese.
I was thinking more like a crisp cheddar. Is that what they're called? A sharp,
yeah, something
a
harsh,
sharp, harsh
with
and
a,
sharp,
with a strong after flavour. That would definitely be
but
you.
Fascinating. Imagine that. That being your legacy, like grandchildren.
No,
have
I don't.
A slice.
I don't want my armpit bacteria to be my legacy.
Have a slice of grandma with a bit of quince paste. Oh,
can I tell you just quickly? My daughter asked me yesterday
if I could
start including some camembert in her lunchbox.
Oh my God, Remy has a wheel of camembert
I said, no parent I know would do that. That's an uppity thing to do. You
I
can just
one,
have your cheese stick like
no.
A,
is this,
you give you
Remy has a
give,
wheel of brie per week. So I'll slice it in half or quarters, depending on how hungry he is for said cheese. Sometimes I'll put a little plastic knife in there. He has some crackers on the side. It's better than a cheese stringer, Sarah. It's so, it's
Hang
good
on,
fats.
Are you on more coin than what? Me? How the hell are you buying a wheel of brie and giving it to your 9-year-old
Are
to
you serious?
Down?
You can get the mini, the smallish ones in your local supermarket for like $3. It's cheaper than cheese stringers.
So you get your live-in chef to cut it.
No.
Sarah, most people have had to resign from a job because sometimes life takes a turn or you decide that you hate what you're doing and it's time to move on. Has that ever happened to you?
Yes, multiple times.
Yeah, so you've written resignation letters?
Yes, I have.
And how do they usually go?
Most of them were formal, except the job that I resigned for to work with you.
Yeah.
When basically I said, I've had enough of talking to people around the office. I think you'll all be relieved. No, I'm now getting paid to talk on a radio show. So my tenure here is done. So it was all very good humoured and went down a treat.
Very nice.
I haven't done anything too outrageous, have you?
Well, no, usually people follow a template or something like that. And they keep it pretty above board and very profesh.
Yeah.
That's short for professional.
Yep.
Now, I have come across the most wonderful creative resignation letters, probably from people who have had a gutful of their jobs and possibly gone out on a lunch break and decided right there and then, I don't want to go back.
I'm done.
I'm done. Something's happened with the boss, whatever. So the first one I saw is so good. It's actually just a drawing, a beautiful pencil sketch of a T-Rex.
Yeah.
Fabulous drawing, right? It says on it, this is a drawing of a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Dinosaur image. Then it says, it is also my 2 weeks' notice. The name of my dinosaur? Quit my Jobosaurus. Boom. It's on a napkin. They've delivered it to the boss after lunch.
What I would love to think is that that person worked in like a law firm 80 hours a week or something
probably
and has just been tipped over the edge
lost
and thought,
their mind.
Give me a napkin, give me a pencil, here's a dinosaur.
That's what it
quit.
Is. I mean, I love going into their minds going, what the hell happened in that
something
moment?
Really has to make you snap.
Something snapped. There's another person who worked in a fast food chain over in the States. You know those Wendy's places?
Yeah, we got Wendy's here.
No, not the ice cream one. Wendy's in the States is at Burgers.
Oh, right. Okay.
Anyway, you know the neon signs out the front?
Yeah.
They changed the letters. They rearranged the letters and all it said was, Greg, I quit. Now that's better. That's it.
But how would Greg know who it is?
What do you mean? Greg probably knows exactly who it is because Greg's probably pissed that person right off by putting him on the fry station for 3 weeks in a row, Scotty. Haven't you ever worked in fast food?
Oh, I feel sorry for Greg. Poor guy.
I don't. I think Greg has his comeuppance.
Also, I wonder if Greg was looking out the window being like, what's Pete doing out there? What is he writing? That's not what I told him to write. I said to write, I write burgers and ribs, $14. What's he doing?
And does that count for HR? Would they need to take a photograph of that and then file it? Like, is that official?
You'd have to follow up with something formal on paper.
What a shame.
You?
I wouldn't want to. I'd just be like, that is it. And lastly, this is something I feel you and I would do, Sarah. Just a big printed letter with extremely large font size. It just says, I quit. And underneath it, in tiny font size, P.S., I'm still coming to the Christmas party.
That's fair. That's so fair.
Because they're always cracker, aren't
they? Really
they?
Good Christmas
especially
party.
Especially when you can't get
that.
Fired.
I'd probably resign in January, actually.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Right now, we'd love you guys to call through on 131060 because we want to ask people if you've ever bought a house with multiple people, Sarah. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm asking this is because last night on Channel 10, a brand new Aussie drama aired. Mm. It's called Five Bedrooms.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've been missing a good Aussie drama. It's funny. It's a great premise, which is five strangers realise that they can't compete in the real estate market on their own. They just always miss out at the auctions. They just don't have the money, which is relatable.
Mm.
They decide to join forces, all five of them, and buy a property. 5-bedroom property solves all their problems. That's the premise of the show.
I mean, I'm excited because I originally thought it was a reality television show like The Block where people get a bedroom each and they have to do it and then someone judges them. So I personally am thrilled.
Not at all. It's from the writer of Offspring.
Cat Stewart is still acting in a show and
not presenting a reality show. No.
Presenting in
but
one.
Don't you think that that idea of pooling your funds?
Yes, absolutely. I know somebody who's done it.
Really?
Yes, I have a friend of mine. She and her husband and her brother-in-law and sister-in-law both bought a block of land, divided it in two, both built houses on that land, and they have a shared play area for their kids. So it's almost like they've created a mini commune.
Yes, which they refer to.
But that was their way of the blocks of land are really expensive in the area that they live. This is a smart way to do it. And then when it comes time to sell, they can just put a fence down the middle sell off as two separate houses. I mean, brilliant.
Brilliant concept. So I just, I would love to talk to our listeners out there who may have done this. Have you purchased a house with multiple people? We're not talking your partner. We're talking about have you gone in with five people?
Because I suppose it's really high on the agenda at the moment, the cost of entering the property market. I've certainly had girlfriends who, when they were single and only had one income of their own, who pooled their resources with their parents to buy a property together. So the parents wanted to downsize.
Yes.
They, and my girlfriends wanted to
get their foot in the door.
So that was a very happy answer for them. And it's not silly.
It's not. I love talking about this money stuff. So give us a buzz, 131060, and let's see if anybody's been clever enough to do this IRL in real life.
Who and your acronyms. Donna on 131060, have you bought a house with several people?
Yes, my husband and I purchased a house with our eldest son and his wife.
And how did that conversation come about, Donna?
They were a young couple planning to get married and looking at houses, couldn't afford to buy one, so we decided to purchase a house together.
Yeah.
Went 50-50 in the house. And we all moved in, and my mum moved in with us as well.
Wow.
And then my grandmother had some issues, so she moved in.
Oh, yeah.
God, how big is this
the
house?
Son and his wife had kids. So we had 5 generations living in the one house.
And how did that go? How is that working for you, Donna?
Well, we do have our moments. Mind you, we do all work together in a family business as well.
Wow.
So we live and work together. But. Oh. The kids, we've been 8 years now living together.
Yeah.
It's a 2-story house. We live on one level. They live on the other.
So that's the key, isn't it? To sort of have separate spaces. Yeah.
Yep.
It's reminding me, Donna, another friend I used to work with did that. Her parents lived in a regional area and they wanted to move to the city. So they bought a house that had a very smart design.
Yeah.
And her parents lived on one side of the house and her husband live on the other. And they both went 50-50.
Put in a second kitchen and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kiana on 131060, have you bought a house with several people?
My best friends, they're identical twins.
Mm.
And they met these two guys and they're also best friends. And they all built a house together.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And so they didn't, I know twins have a very special relationship, but they obviously never considered kind of living apart, or that was just the smartest financial decision for them.
Yeah, I asked them about it and they said they could never live without each other. So it was worse than we did.
How much money did they each put in? Do you remember, Kiana?
I'm pretty sure they split it all in four.
Yeah. Because it's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
Like, on the show, and yes, it's fictional.
But you think about it. It's a lot easier to go to a bank, perhaps, and ask for a loan of $100,000 as opposed to $800,000 to get in.
It's also the deposit, Sarah.
That's right.
So here, the deposit in the show is divided by 5, which is palatable. It's achievable, rather.
Yeah.
Interesting. Let's buy a house together.
Let's do it.
Scott,
are
you in?
Scott, you can live with us.
You
bring your girlfriend.
Get excited.
Our parents will come along. This is going to be a whole commune.
I feel some bad cooking coming on.
Ancestral.
It's been almost 6 hours since the blackout period started for any more advertisements or election campaign paraphernalia.
Mm.
And dare I say it, I miss it already. You know, I went to my mailbox yesterday and I pulled out at least 17 flyers on how to vote on Saturday. And I thought, yes, more of this. And now that's it. It's done.
I think it started at midnight.
And there's a whole, there's something missing. There's a,
I like a slander ad.
Before anybody freaks out, it's only TV and radio that have to stop. So you'll still get the billboards.
Oh, thank goodness.
You'll still get the leaflets in the mail.
My letterbox still overflowing with unnecessary paper wastage.
You just won't hear or see them.
Well, or will we? Because I think there's a little opportunity here for a last-minute campaign. Two ring-ins to put their hat in the ring for the people to vote.
Also, I just like to slander you.
That's right.
So,
cat's out of the bag. We've done an election campaign about the other one.
So the only election ads you're going to hear here on the radio today.
I don't want it to be mean. What have you said about me, Sarah?
Well, I'm more worried about what you've said about me.
I got to play Sarah's campaign ad.
Australia, before voting on Saturday, you need to know the truth about Lee's car law. What she wants you to believe?
If you're Australian, there is Bogan Pride.
But...
Merci, bonjour.
Uh-huh. She's a dual citizen.
I mean, the French are so arrogant and I love it.
She'll use her taxpayer-funded salary unapologetically.
Let's have a splurge.
What's first on her agenda if she becomes Prime Minister?
Is the exorbitant, actually insane cost of certain hotel items or services.
As for her thoughts on foreign diplomacy?
Well, I'm not there yet, so I don't have to deal with it.
Try again, Lise.
I'm still so fresh in this world. I'm baby.
Lise Carla for PM.
It doesn't make sense when you first hear it, right?
It'll never make sense, Australia. The truth about Lise is she's all lies. You deserve better. Spoken by Sarah Wills for the Bat One Girl Party, authorised by Sarah Wills.
There you go. I think a dual citizen is exactly what the country needs.
Okay. Lee's made one as well.
I did.
All right, let's have a listen to Lee's campaign ad.
A final message before the election. Don't say we didn't warn you against Wills. She's a cheat. In 2018, Sarah was caught red-handed making a dishonourable phone call to get ahead.
It only goes so far with Lee's winning every round. I'll write down some movies anyway and send them to you.
And what about Sarah's inability to relate to the next generation of Australians?
Millennials, you're all a pack of sooks.
All right, is that really who we want leading the way? And while 3.6 million Aussies are going hungry every year, Wills continues to refuse perfectly good produce, firmly aligning herself with the haves and not the have-nots of our fair country.
Throw it out when the date is done.
It's time to wake up and make Australia great again. Where there's a Wills, there isn't a way. Spoken by Lise Carlaw for the pro-Lise Carlaw and anti-Sarah Wills Party.
You usually do get my vote, but carefully. Not this campaign. Not this one. Frenchie.
Vote below the line or above the line. I don't even know. I mean,
do you want
means.
A Prime Minister who gives her son wheels of brie in his lunchbox?
You know what? You know what? People are going to wake up this morning and go, I'm going straight to buy a wheel of brie. That's a fabulous lunchbox option. That and miso soup. Think about it.
That's a real voice for the people, isn't it?
I'm just worried. I'm worried he gets picked on for this.
Believe you me, he does not. 2 minute noodles in a thermos, that's what Australia wants.
All right, 5 a.m. tomorrow, we're going to be back on your radio. You can always catch the best bits of the show.
Mummy's coming home to give you break.
Oh, my God. Oh. On the hit up.
Yeah, I've got some cheese sticks coming for you too, girls.
Artificial stuff.
Right now, your sons are waking up. Mother! Mother! Have you my rib?
Mum, can we mix it up with some camembert today, please? Please, Mummy.
Mother, my hors d'oeuvres are not ready for morning tea.
Is this... I said croissant, Mother, not baguette for my Vegemite.
Anyway, would you believe she made us have lobster tail for lunch? Lobster tail!
Nice.
Yeah. We're having a good time.
I am telling you that cheese...
I said caviar on my crustacea,
cheese
Mum.
Stringers are more expensive than a bloody wheel of cheese. Yeah, right.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
That was the best of today's show.
I was in a car once where an egging happened and I still feel guilty.
Yeah?
I didn't even throw an egg. I didn't know it was happening. I was 17. There was a detour taken to a neighbourhood street, and then all the kids piled out of the car and just threw eggs at a house.
Do you know who's?
I was like, what?
Sarah's like, that's my house.
I was like, don't, Mom, I'm not here. No, I still feel terrible that happened.
It doesn't take much to clean rebels. It off, Sarah.
Could you imagine though, if you rocked home and there's eggs on your house?
Well, you've obviously done something to upset people. You just hose it off.
I don't know. It eats paint.
Oh, egg eats paint. If you leave it on and never hose it off.
So is this an invitation for the local kids to egg your house?
Let's egg Lisa's house and see if she's as relaxed about it. Just hose it off. Hose it off.
I reckon we should.
Don't.
Oh, gee, the attitude changed pretty bloody quickly.
Yeah, that turned around, didn't it?
Unlike the elderly couple that Lee's egged as a teenager.
I did not. I can't even remember who we egged.
I think egging is the most disrespectful thing.
That sounds like someone who was never took part in egging.
No, but you know when I see these kids like egging prime ministers and politicians, I don't care what your beliefs are. I absolutely hate it.
Oh, yeah.
I just think it is.
What about toilet papering a yard? A front yard.
Okay, we'll do that to your house when we come and egg it too.
You want that as well? Done.
These things sound
great.
Bad
for the environment.
What if it's recycled 3-ply?
That's okay. Have to find a way to reuse it though.
That can go in the boys' toilet.
If it all just ends up in their dam, it'll disintegrate in there anyway.
Well, the water feature that Dane's going to install will push it
still
back
hasn't.
Out.
He still hasn't. He talks about these things.
He talks a big game, doesn't he?
He does talk a big game.
Will that keep Minnie out of there?
No, nothing keeps Minnie out of there. There's a new ritual. Remy takes her for a 40-minute walk.
Wow.
On the weekends down to the IGA. He buys himself 2 litres of orange juice, which is highly unnecessary because there's a great orange juice machine at the IGA where it presses fresh oranges and it's super healthy. But there's a small size and a large size. And of course, he's come back with the 2-litre bottle, swigging it like a delinquent, but he takes Minnie for a walk. And then
Does he put vodka in it?
Probably. When they walk back through the gate, they're so cute together and Minnie starts the gallop brr, 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 and then bomb dives in the dam. Every time. What a bitch.
The only time I see her happy is when the boys are home from school.
I know.
She's actually just miserable on the lounge waiting for them to come home, I think, for the most part.
I just want to pull you up on something. You asked if he had vodka in the wine. In the orange juice. He would have had wine. Wine with his camembert.
He would have probably turned it into a mimosa, I'd say. A bit of champagne and orange juice.
Oh, delicious.
Mummy!
He's not a delinquent.
Mummy!
Mummy. Mummy, one of the cleaners looked at me. Can we have them removed from the homestead?
Mummy, my room's a mess. When is the cleaner here?
Just because he eats bloody dairy. Honestly.
Bloody dairy.
It's not dairy.
It's a wheel of bread.
He does it. He's not a yogurt. He doesn't like yogurt.
All right, we'll catch you tomorrow.
What did you say, Lise? What's wrong?
I said he doesn't like.
Is she all right?
Maxie likes yogurt, but I.
Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.
Tickety boo, off she goes home. That's it for today's Those Two Girls catch up. But you can score even more catch ups just like this one. Download the Hit app and keep up with the girls on Facebook and Instagram.